Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Friday, December 2nd. Today, Sun writer and editor Kevin Simpson shifts our attention away from breaking news to the subject of books. In particular, he's taking a look at an unusual anthology that was the winner of a 2022 Colorado Book Award in that genre. Before we begin, we'd like to thank our friends and sponsors at Xcel Energy. Xcel Energy can help you find ways to keep your home or business running smoothly while reducing energy use and saving you money. Find everyday tips for using less energy and simple ways to manage your energy budget at xcelenergy.com. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day, in 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed a land patent that created the Colorado State Forest. It extends along the Medicine Bow Range, along the eastern edge of North Park in Jackson County, with a few acres of Larimer County thrown in. It is the state's premier moose viewing destination. For over 30 years, a series of logging camps operated in the forest, part of its healthful management, but increasing environmental concerns led to their closure in the early 70s. To promote the vast region as a tourist destination, it was designated State Forest State Park in 1971, reinforcing its status as a place of special beauty and tranquility. Next, our feature story.
Happy Friday, Colorado. As we often do on Fridays, we're going to talk about Colorado-connected literature, specifically a book titled Tell It Slant, which we recently introduced to readers in our weekly Sunlit feature. It's a collection of stories written by people serving time in Colorado's prisons, but there's an even larger story behind it. And we're happy to have with us this morning Ashley Hamilton, who is an assistant professor in the Department of Theater at the University of Denver, and is also co-founder and executive director of a program called the DU Prison Arts Initiative. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks so much, Kevin. I'm thrilled to be here.
So we'll get to the book in a minute, but first let's talk about the Prison Arts Initiative as a whole. What was its origin? What kind of scope are we looking at? What are its goals? And was it a tough sell to the Department of Corrections?
Thank you again for having me and representing the DU Prison Arts Initiative today, as well as our incarcerated students and writers and artists throughout the Department of Corrections here in Colorado, who brought so much amazing work to life in this book, Tell It Slant, as well as some really incredible collaborators on our DU PI team and in the community. So thank you for allowing me the chance to represent all those folks. Yeah, so just on a sort of 30,000 foot view, the DU Prison Arts Initiative is a program that is partnered with the Department of Corrections here in Colorado. I am on faculty at the University of Denver, and we're contracted with the DOC to bring arts-based programming into every prison in the state of Colorado. And we actually cover sort of the full spectrum of what we might call the liberal arts. We offer programming through ongoing 15-week courses, as well as through multiple special projects. We have a podcast called Within. So we have a podcast that takes place across three prisons in the DOC. We have a statewide prison newspaper called The Inside Report, which is created in Fremont Correctional Facility with our Inside Report staff there of incarcerated journalists, but we collect writing from across the whole state. We have a literary arts magazine, creative arts magazine called Reverberations. It's a partner to The Inside Report. We also have the only statewide public-facing prison radio station in the country, or in the world, actually. It's called Inside Wire, Colorado Prison Radio.
I think we've written about that, actually.
Yes, that's right. We also do large theatrical productions of varying scope and type. We're actually about to open our next show next week, Godspell the Musical, at Fremont Correctional Facility and Territorial Correctional Facility. We also run leadership courses and training, and then we have our ongoing courses that also cover dance, creative writing, literary arts, and so on. So there's a lot going on, and I'm incredibly grateful to get to work with so many incredible artists in prisons across the state, but also collaborators in the larger Colorado community. And so to answer your last question, was this a tough sell to the Department of Corrections? A lot of folks You know, it's a sort of a niche thing, right? But a lot of folks might not be aware that prison arts and prison education has a long standing in our country. There are decades worth of amazing artists and educators who have been creating work with incarcerated folks inside prisons across our country, but also artists who are incarcerated, of course, putting out their own work as well. So in terms of a tough sell, I feel really grateful because the administration that we've had in place in Colorado during DUPI's time here over the last 5 years has been so supportive. They have, yeah, they've been incredibly great partners to me and to us. And so we've been able to do some really amazing things. And Tell It Slant was one of our projects that we worked on during COVID and was actually a response to COVID, which I'm sure we'll talk more about here in a moment.
Tell It Slant was, I guess, first the name of a course for Flash Nonfiction before it became the name of the book. Tell us about the meaning of that title. I think a lot of people might read that and not recognize that phrase and how it fits the program's mission.
Yeah, thank you. So, actually, the course was created by two really amazing DUPI affiliate faculty and artists here and educators here in Colorado. Elijah Knoll, who is a PhD student at the University of Denver, and then also Susie Q. Smith, who is an incredible poet, writer. Both of them created this course, which we delivered to students across the Colorado Department of Corrections in spring of 2021. The title Tell It Slant is inspired from the Emily Dickinson poem, Tell All the Truth, But Tell It Slant. And I would love, I wish Susie or Elijah were here to speak a little bit more to why they specifically chose that title. But my understanding from, their course materials and from just also reading the poem is that the idea is to tell your truth, right? But to tell it in a way that, as Emily writes in the poem, must dazzle gradually, which I think is so beautiful. There's this line, the truth must dazzle gradually. And so the idea of what does it mean to tell our own stories, right? Nonfiction, but to do it in a creative way that allows them to really be told in all of their complexity and beauty. So I think in terms of answering, and again, I would love for Susie and Elijah to hear what they would say too. I hope I'm doing them justice. But I think when I think about that, how that fits into the larger programming at the time, especially, we had a director of programming at that time, Julie Rada, who worked incredibly hard to bring this class to fruition. And I know that we both talked a lot during COVID about what does it mean to continue our work in those deep, dark days of, you know, especially in the early days of COVID? And I think that this term, Tell It Slant, is an invitation to our students inside, right, in this hard time to tell their own stories, to continue the good work of being an artist and being connected to your community at all times, but especially during COVID.
So you must have had a lot of logistical hurdles to overcome to attempt something like this in a prison setting. And of course, you mentioned the complication of the pandemic on top of that. So what were the particular challenges you faced in delivering course materials, but also evaluating and editing the pieces submitted by the writers, just everything that went into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I really want to, again, shout out Julie, her work around actually disseminating this programming. She really was holding that project and did a really amazing job because, as you said, it was logistically incredibly complicated. We were working at the time in 10 different facilities, prison facilities across the state, and starting with getting DOC staff, who are already, they're doing their jobs during COVID, of course, in the facilities, but then asking them to work with us to disseminate the course packets and information was a huge part of it, as well as actually recording. So Susie and Elijah recorded lectures that went alongside a course packet in a textbook that was used in the class that we had disseminated across these 10 facilities for hundreds of students. And so just the logistical hurdles of sort of organizing all of that across the multiple facilities with the different staff, and then getting the students signed up and getting their materials to them. And then again, having Susie and Elijah record their lectures, and then from there, getting those lectures on a TV channel so that our students could watch them and do their homework and their work accordingly. Then they would actually send their homework from the class back to us through a staff contact. And then there was a whole complex collecting the work and then having it organized, having it then responded to by our faculty on the outside. So we had DUPI faculty giving feedback to the artists on their writing and working with them on their writing, going back and forth in correspondence. And then, of course, eventually choosing a final piece for the text. So it was very complex.
Wow.
So very grateful for lots of partners around that.
So in our Sunlit feature, we ran a piece from the book by a man named Brett Phillips about a youth football experience he had growing up in Oklahoma. And in the interview that we ran with his piece, in which he responded to some questions for us, he talked about meeting you and some of what he called, quote, crazy things you asked him to do. So tell me about how you were able to spark his interest.
Yeah, that's right. So Brett Phillips is one of my students, and actually he is part of what's called the Artistic and Development Team for the DU Prison Arts Initiative, DUPI. So we work together daily. So it was very special to have his piece shared in the Colorado Sun. So thank you for that, and to get to hear his further thoughts in the interview. Yeah, Brett and I have actually been working together for almost 5 years. And I asked him about what exactly did this, what were you speaking to in the piece? And we were reminiscing about our first experiences together were when I taught an ensemble theater class at Sterling Correctional Facility back in 2018. And he was in the class. And, you know, as you can imagine, a theater class in prison is can be quite unique. And I believe it was Brett's first time ever participating in any sort of theater activity, although very much identified and identifies as a writer. So, you know, from warm-up games to eventually, you know, some improv, theater improv work to he eventually in that class wrote a scene and performed in multiple scenes. I think that was sort of our early days of maybe some new and unexpected things in his world. And then from there, I cast him actually as the lead in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He played McMurphy, and he was fabulous in it. And that production of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, we actually took on tour around the Colorado Department of Corrections to three other prisons for performances. So yeah, he was also in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And he has continued on in his work very deeply with DUPI. He just acted in a production with us this past summer. But you know, I have to say, knowing Brett quite well, that I think he's a very talented actor. But I do think his sort of home base and great love is writing. So it was really a pleasure to get to have him get to speak to his piece in Tullet's Land, because he's also our co-editor of Reverberations, our creative literary arts magazine. So he gets to flex that muscle a lot as well.
So what did you think of his story, Impact? And were there a lot of others in the collection that surprised you in terms of the creativity they revealed among the folks in these classes?
I absolutely loved Brett's story. And again, I think because I work with him, you know, daily, I have the pleasure of I've gotten to know him quite well over the years and know a lot about his football days. And he is, to this day, a huge OU fan. And so I loved getting to I think just more than anything, experience his writing and his writing style. I think he's a really strong writer. So yeah, it was just kind of a pleasure to continue to deepen my knowledge of him and see him express himself creatively in that way. We work a lot very like administratively together. So it's always it's fun to see him do that work as well as creatively, I guess. And then as far as the other writers, you know, I have to say, it never ceases to amaze me, no matter, you know, I've been doing prison arts and ed work for 12 years, and I have my graduate work and my research is all in this area. I've worked at this point with, you know, literally thousands of different folks inside. And it never ceases to amaze me, the incredible talent that is behind the walls. So, you know, as much as I have the pleasure of experiencing it a lot, I'm always blown over by the beautiful, nuanced work. And I think more than anything, Kevin, I think what I'm really moved by with Tell It Slant is remembering the context in which it was created, right? So again, we have to go back to really dark days of COVID. Prisons at that point were mostly all on and off lockdown because of COVID. And here we have hundreds of incarcerated folks choosing to take a creative nonfiction class. I think for me, more than anything, it's just the beauty of the resiliency of these incredible folks inside who are spending their time that way during that time. Yeah, and I think also the other thing that's really exciting about Tell It Slant is, you know, DUPI has also published another text, an anthology called Imagining Worlds, which is a collection of short plays from across the Colorado DOC. And we have a couple of other publications under our Lux Lit Press, which is DUPI's press arm. And I have to say, the thing about Tell It Slant is that it is nonfiction, right? It is, this is true storytelling and, you know, the true stories of these folks. And I think that there is something very brave about putting these stories in the world, given, you know, the context.
So at this point, I would urge our listeners to look up the excerpt from Tell It Slant and the interview, along with many other books that we have in our archive now at coloradosun.com/sunlit. And Ashley, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you so much for having me and representing these artists and students inside. And again, want to give a huge shout out to Susie, Elijah, and Julie, who brought this project to life and held it so beautifully. And thanks for letting me speak to it.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. State Senator Bob Rankin, a Carbondale Republican and member of the legislature's powerful Joint Budget Committee, is resigning halfway through his four-year term. Rankin announced his resignation Thursday, saying he is ready to move forward with the next chapter of his life. Rankin's departure comes after Democrats expanded their majority in the Colorado Senate in last month's elections. Democrats will hold a 23-12 majority when the legislature reconvenes on January 9th. A vacancy committee will select a replacement to serve the rest of his term, which ends in January 2025. Environmentalists sometimes have difficulty getting policymakers to take lawn equipment and small engines seriously in the pollution fight. But as Colorado looks to lower its ozone levels with EPA deadlines and possible fines looming, some say the state's own numbers point to the opportunity. Advocates say if Colorado made a switch to ban gas-powered tools, the state would find 18% of the ozone reduction it needs to get under federal limits. However, Colorado legislators rejected a proposal this year to ban the sale of gas-powered lawn equipment by 2030. The state-mandated recount is underway for Colorado's 3rd Congressional District. Representative Lauren Boebert won the contest by about 550 votes over Democrat challenger Adam Frisch, and that narrow margin triggers an automatic recount. Frisch has conceded previously and said he knows a recount likely won't find that many votes to change the outcome. The Secretary of State said she was ordering the recount in accordance with Colorado law. It must be completed by December 13th. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again on Monday. Before we go, we encourage you to check out a new podcast from our friends at KUNC called The Colorado Dream. Here's a sneak peek.
The new season of The Colorado Dream explores the Black immigrant experience in Aurora. It's told through the eyes of one African woman.
I would sit on the beach and just daydream about coming to America.
And the city of Aurora, that's working to become an inclusive home for all.
In the last 20 years, we have a new face of the city.
I'm Stephanie Daniel. Join me for the Colorado Dream Newcomers Welcome. You can find the series at kunc.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, a quick message from our editor.
I'm Larry Rickman, editor and co-founder of the Colorado Sun. The Sun is a public benefit corporation, and we rely on the support of listeners and readers like you to produce the nonpartisan, in-depth news that Colorado needs and deserves. Please consider becoming a Sun member for just $5 a month. Learn more at coloradosun.com. Thanks.